miss a beat in today's fast-moving markets. Stay close to the action together with us. All episodes available at www.chartered-investment.com/podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Funds in 15 Minutes with another episode. Today, my guest is Louis DeGeorges. Louis is attorney at law with Linklaters in Paris and specializes in financial services and, of course, technology. And we're going to talk about the France playbook for fund tokenization, what works, what breaks. Hello, Louis.
Hi, David. It's a pleasure being here with you today.
Pleasure for having you. So as our listeners are aware of, we're going to straight jump into today's questions on this lovely topic. Maybe as a starting point, and in particular for our listeners who hear like tokenized fund units and think crypto, what are we actually talking about in the French and or EU funds context? And why is the timing right now?
Okay, so I would say tokenized financial instruments and crypto assets are two, or from a legal perspective, two different concepts that should not be mistaken. When we are talking about crypto assets, we are referring to the digital assets defined by the MiCA regulation, which is the EU framework for the provision of services on crypto assets, and which is defined by MiCA as a digital representation of a value or of a right that is able to be transferred and stored electronically using DLT or similar technology. DLT stands for distributed ledger technology, which is the legal word for blockchain. Tokenization of financial instruments, on the contrary, refers to the registration of these financial instruments on a DLT. The difference comes from the fact that tokenized financial instruments should, as a principle, qualify as financial instruments within the meaning of MiFID and not as crypto assets. So we are talking really about two different types of assets, which are subject to two different legal regimes. In France, you know, I would say France has been pioneer on the implementation of a legal framework for the tokenization of certain financial instruments, which are securities, debt instruments, and funds share or units, with the adoption of two acts in 2017 and 2018, which allowed for the registration of non-listed financial instruments to be registered on DLT. This French legal framework was later completed at EU level with the implementation of the so-called DLT pilot regime, which concerns listed financial instruments. However, this DLT pilot regime offers a framework that is restricted, notably in terms of the scope of eligible assets, which, for example, does not include AIF shares or units, and in terms of volume of assets that may be issued. But one important thing to note, David, is that these restrictions may however, soon change with the recent EU Commission market integration package, which will be discussed in the coming months by the different EU legislative bodies, and which plans to revise the DLT pilot regime to soften the restrictions and to further allow innovation at EU level. To answer your question, I would say that this clear regulatory framework, which pushes towards more innovation on the market, makes the right timing for the development of tokenization of financial instruments on the French and EU markets.
Well, that's very insightful, Louis. Let us just directly jump a little bit deeper into the core legal mechanisms in France. So what are those that makes tokenization of fund units workable in practice in France? So is it the on-chain register as the official ownership record? That is one part of the question, and the other, of course, and that is highly interesting for our listeners. From your French perspective on such developments? What are the fund types that are most important and tokenization ready at the moment? Is it rather UCITS versus AIF discussion, or is it again money market funds? So that would be extremely insightful, Louis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to answer the first theme of the question, you know, under French law, the registration of financial instruments on DLT, on the blockchain, produces the same legal effect as the registration of financial instruments on a mere securities account. It evidences ownership of the relevant financial instruments and the transfer of this ownership from one account to another. So that's to answer the first part. As I got the second part, you know, from a legal standpoint, as mentioned previously, I would say the current French legal framework allows for tokenization of non-listed shares or units of French funds, be they AIFs or UCITS. But, you know, at the EU level, as I mentioned, the DLT pilot regime contains restrictions, notably in terms of eligible assets, and shares or units of AIFs are not within the scope of the DLT pilot regime. So that's purely from a legal standpoint. And if we go, if we have a more practical look, I would say the automated operations offered by smart contracts, which favor reducing costs and speed up transactions, goes along well with the investment strategy of the money market funds, which is to as we know, to invest in short-term assets. So that's why I would say, or this probably explain why there's a trend around the tokenization of money market funds over the recent years. And it is shown, I think, you have different charts available on the ECB website, which shows that the market capitalization of tokenized MMF has been significantly increasing over the last years. And as regards the French market, BNP Paribas recently announced a few weeks ago having issued a tokenized share class of a French MMF. So yeah, definitely, I would say what we see most on the market is tokenization of money market funds more than any other categories of AIF or UCITS.
All right, that's very interesting. Absolutely, absolutely. So let us just walk that road a little bit further. So from your extensive experience, when and that leads a little bit to the actual. That's what I like to do, the actual mechanics of what we think of tokenized fund units. When people say tokenized fund units, what are they usually doing? Is it the native tokenized unit, so the register on chain, or is it rather B, a token as a wrapper or a claim on a traditionally recorded unit? So, and what is, let's talk about trade-offs as well.
I would say Model A is the more common on the French market, meaning that the token represents the relevant funds unit, but does not constitute a separate token representing a claim on this unit, as you mentioned in B. I would say Model B is probably used or more common with respect to cross-border or multi-jurisdictional structures, where probably the legal framework in those other jurisdictions does not provide yet the same certainty as under French law, as the regime I outlined in the introduction. And as regards the trade-off, I would say it is essentially legal robustness and functionality versus speed to market and operational simplicity.
Understood. Yeah. So, Louis, taking this as a foundation, more or less, which is certainly given that we're talking about France as the member of the European Union, etc., and is all embedded within the European model, so to say. However, what I recognize from different jurisdiction that the operating model sometimes might differ from what we see merely in the legal textbooks, so to say. So give our listeners the exclusive opportunity to walk us through the operating model in France. So who are key actors around the tokenized fund units? Just to name a few, we usually refer to the management company, the depositary, the transfer agent or registrar. We have the distributor in hand. We have the provider of the wallets and the custody, even the DLT. You already mentioned it, the DLT operator, or even the trading venue, be it traditional or embedded in the DLT regime.
Well, you know, I would say that the operating model does not change that much and involves the same type of entities along the tokenization chain as for traditional a traditional fund. But I would say that those roles may be a bit transformed or differ a bit from the traditional roles we are seeing when it comes to traditional funds, and also with new participants. You mentioned the DLT, but if we briefly and quickly run through those main actors, yeah. So as you said, you have the management company of the fund, whose role does not differ at all. It remains responsible for the portfolio management, making the investment decisions, ensuring that the tokenization architecture is consistent with the fund's documentation and the regulatory requirements. And I'm here mainly thinking of the various liquidity requirements. Then you have the custodian, as you mentioned, which I would say is probably one of the most interesting to look at in the context of tokenization. So the custodian role remains the same as for traditional fund, which is to hold assets in custody and conduct oversight over the those assets. But specifically for tokenized units, I would say the custodian would be expected to oversee the DLT register, satisfy itself that the on-chain records are accurate and consistent with the fund's NAV and unit holder register, which I just mentioned. Oversee the custody of the cryptographic keys or the smart contract infrastructure. I would say that that would be the specific roles of custodian with respect to tokenize the funds. Another role which is interesting to look at when it comes to tokenized structure is the role of the transfer agent or registrar, which may differ from the traditional role of a transfer agent, and which should be which should evolve into a DLT operator or smart contract administrator role, I would say. And then you mentioned distributor, so the role would be the same. And of course, yeah, there's the DLT infrastructure, which is the main change when it comes to a tokenized structure. Because as we mentioned previously, in traditional structure, the units or the shares of the relevant fund would be held on the securities account. And in the case of a tokenized structure, those units would be registered on this DLT. So, yeah, that's the main change. But you know, otherwise, to conclude, I would say the roles of the entities involved in a tokenized structure remain closely or similar to the roles of these entities when it comes to a traditional structure.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Interesting, interesting. Louis, let us just. I recall that you've already indicated it and mentioned it very properly. Mm-hmm. But let's circle back once more to the use cases and to the product itself. So we were aligned by saying that the money market funds and cash management alike products often show up first. If I understood correctly from you, that is basically also the dominant use case in France. So just for our listeners to understand, so what is your experience and your impression or perception on why that is?
I think, you know, the that's what I mentioned briefly previously. I would say that the fact that smart contracts and DLT offers automated operations, but also favors for reducing costs, speed up transactions with probably less intermediaries involved, which is the purpose of this DeFi, reducing intermediaries, speeding up transactions, you know, it goes well along with the investment strategy of a money market fund, which is focusing on investing in short-term assets. So that's, I would say that's the reason why MMF is trendy now, I would say, if I may say, when it comes to tokenization. Yeah.
Very interesting, very interesting. So we're almost running out of time, but I do not want to miss two questions I have in my address to you. So we all know that discussion of public chain versus private permission chain. So how are actually French sponsors thinking about this particular choice in these days? And mm-hmm. do you feel that you see in France hybrid models like traditional distribution plus tokenized share classes basically becoming the default or simply just an option?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think we French sponsors first began exploring tokenization. The instinct was strongly towards private or permissioned blockchains, which were offering regulatory comfort, confidentiality, or control. And I would say early French tokenization projects have predominantly used those permissioned or private blockchain infrastructures. I would say more recently, you know, a growing number of French and European sponsors are exploring structures on public blockchains, primarily Ethereum. I would say this is driven by interoperability, because public blockchains offer universal settlement layer that any participant can access without being part of a consortium. But also secondary market liquidity, I would say, and long-term resilience. This would be my answer in a nutshell. And as respect to the As regards, sorry, the hybrid model, probably we could think of a hybrid distribution model where the fund maintains a tokenized share class alongside the traditional share classes recorded on conventional or traditional securities account. And, you know, I think, you know, I've not been involved on recent matters or recent transactions in this respect, but I would say that the recent examples of tokenized funds we've seen on the French market suggest that it is only a specific share class which is tokenized alongside other share class which are held the traditional way securities account.
Right. That's perfect. Yeah. Thank you so much, Louis. So last but not least, your answer to my last question I had in mind, which is basically which top three pitfalls with tokenized fund units in France would you actually name?
Yeah. So the I would say first the restriction in the EU regulatory framework, which I mentioned. But again, this may be addressed in the coming months. But in the meantime, it could be seen or it could constitute a hurdle to a proper development of funds tokenization on the EU and French markets. Second, I would say the absence of a digital euro for wholesale purposes, in the absence of which we cannot have like a fully on-chain transaction because we would miss this delivery settlement part. And third, I would say focusing too much on technology and the legal framework and underestimating the operational transformation required. But that's definitely more an operational point rather than a legal one.
Thank you so much for your time. It has been a pleasure having you as a guest in my podcast.
Thank you, David, for inviting me. Pleasure is mine.
My very pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, this was Funds in 15 Minutes today with Louis Desjardins on France Playbook for Fund Tokenization, what works and what breaks. Thank you very much.
This podcast is for informational purposes only. The content discussed does not constitute investment advice, a recommendation or an offer to buy or sell units or shares in investment funds. Please make investment decisions solely on the basis of the official offering documents.